Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, and that's where we'll be today for the Word of God. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. All right, we'll give everyone a few seconds. So today we are talking about sola Christus, which is in Christ alone, or by Christ alone. And this is so important to our faith and our Christian walk. Without Christ, there would be no salvation. And so Christ is the centerpiece of our Christian walk and to our Christian faith. And in Acts 4:12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name but Jesus, in which we can have salvation." Martin Luther says, "Jesus Christ is the center and the circumference of the Bible. So the entirety of Scripture points us to one man, the perfect man, Jesus, the Son of God." And I think that's why it's so important today to go through sola Christus. So let's turn to our passage today, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And this is the word of God for us today. "Not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Just to say this as well, it's not about knowing a certain theology. It's not about memorizing verses. It's not about having the upper advantage of knowledge that saves you. It's not about seminary jargon or how much terminology you know of Scripture. It's about Christ. And even to say this, there are some of us here who have been here for over 15, 20 years at this church. Is that correct? Right, and that's amazing, but even that doesn't count for us when it comes to salvation. And by the way, I love the loyalty, I love that. It's great that you guys have been here for so long. Right? It's about a life with Jesus. It's about union with Jesus Christ. So, I think the ultimate question we want to answer today is, how does one get in union with Christ? And what does that even mean, right? What is union with Christ? How do we get there? And what does that mean for us? So we'll get there by the end today. And I hope that today's message is encouraging for all of us. And I hope that today's message is something that feeds our soul. And we're like, oh, this is why Jesus is so sweet and so good to us. So before we continue, though, I need a little bit more strength from God. So let's pray together before we continue on. Father, we just come here before you knowing that this is your time, this is about you, and seeing more of you. So Father, I pray that you would show us Jesus, Holy Spirit, show us Jesus, and how sweet you are. And God, I come here as a broken vessel, knowing that it's only through you that you speak. And so Father, I give this up to you completely. And Father, may you be exalted. May Jesus, would you be exalted in this time today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my wife and I have been working hard on our older house. And it's like, you know, older house is like fine wine. The older it is, the better it is, right? I'm totally kidding. There's a lot of stress to older houses, as some of you guys would know. The projects never stop. And it's been a slow process. But there's ups and downs. And there are times where we feel like, oh, it's never going to be over. Painting project after project, tearing down a part of the wall, whatever it is. And the funny thing is, as much as we celebrate on certain projects, we want the house to be perfect. Can you guys relate to that? Don't you guys want to renovate your home so it's like a perfect scenario? It's like, oh, this is, and then you want to show all your friends and everything like that. I think of Chip and Joanna Gaines on Fixer Upper at those moments where I'm like, oh, I don't want to do any more. I'm just done. And my wife, like, you know, eggs me on to do more. And sometimes I find the courage and bravery to keep going. And there are two things that my wife and I like to share with each other. It's two phrases. The first phrase is, it's okay, it's character. So any blemish we see in the house, we just say, it's okay, it's character. The second thing we say is, it's okay, everything is fixable, right? Now, these two things has allowed us to enjoy the process, right? And that's the funny thing about us, too. Like, our home has taught us what it means to actually have the Christian walk. It's not just about perfection. It's about the process in which we walk with God and enjoy the process. Just like our house has so many blemishes and imperfections, the church has imperfections. And just to be honest, like in the years of ministry that you've witnessed, I'm sure you have seen certain things that's been hard and difficult, right? But Christ still loves his church, even though it's bruised, even though it's blemished, and even twisted at times, Christ still loves his bride, the church. And that is good news, because it's about the process. It's so easy to fixate our eyes on the problems and the sins that we have, the faults, the shortcomings, the guilt, the shame. But to say it this way today, that there is a new space that God wants us to enter. And that's point number one today. Christ, the centerpiece, brings us into new space. We see that in today's verse even. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for his good works. Now, this verse is talking about the new birth. We are now new in Jesus Christ to do good works. And that was planned by God. So a quick question to ask us. Where do you stand in your Christian journey? Currently in your life, when you think of your Christian walk, are you leaning towards the old self and constantly looking at your sins, the guilt, the shame, your past? Or are you leaning and living in the freedom of Christ and the new self, the new space? And I think it's funny because as people, as human beings, we tend to err on one side or the other. You know, we tend to constantly look at sin, or we tend to constantly say, hey, there's so much grace that I can do whatever I want. So there's both things. And some of us might even be thinking, some of us who are smarter might be thinking, oh, wait, if we have radical grace, doesn't that mean we will take advantage of that and sin more, right? And that's a good thought, because that is a thought that we need. But I'm going to bring up something today, and I would even say, should we err on the side of radical grace? And I'm going to clarify that, so bear with me here. Martin Luther says, love God and sin boldly. When you first hear that, you're thinking, wait, doesn't that mean he's promoting sin, right? So think about that for a second. Because, I mean, we're talking about Martin Luther, the one who had started the Reformation, right? Or one of the ones who had started the Reformation. And so if we think about this, it's like, wait, why would he promote the sin? There's two things to note here, though. First off, we have to see the whole context and what he's talking about. And secondly, who he was speaking to at that time, and he was speaking to the Catholic Church, which is why he was going so boldly towards sin to say, you need to identify your sin, but then identify something else even more. And this is the whole passage, the whole letter that he had written here. We're going to see it. I hope it's big enough. If it's not, just try your best to listen to this. This is what Martin Luther says regarding love, God, and sin boldly. If you are a preacher of mercy, do not preach an imaginary but the true mercy. If the mercy is true, you must therefore bear the true, not an imaginary sin. God does not save those who are only imaginary sinners. Be a sinner and let your sins be strong, or in parentheses, or sin boldly. But let your trust in Christ be stronger and rejoice in Christ, who is the victor over sin, death, and the world. We will commit sins while we are here, for this life is not a place where justice resides, We, however, says Peter in 2 Peter 3:13, are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where justice will reign. It suffices that through God's glory, we have recognized the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And take this here. No sin, can separate us from him. Even if we were to kill or commit adultery thousands of times each day. Do you think such an exalted Lamb paid merely a small price with a meager sacrifice for our sins? Pray hard, for you are quite a sinner. The point here is saying sin has to be identified, and our sinfulness has to be identified. But even more, we have to see Christ, who is the victor. That is what Martin Luther is trying to get across to us. These are radical words, because if we really think about what he just said here, if you were to murder someone or commit adultery 1,000 times each day, in our perspective, we might be thinking, oh no, we're not going to make it. But here, I think we're seeing the radical grace of Jesus, how much his mercy and the wonderful and grandeur of his work on the cross takes away sin. That's where Martin Luther is trying to hone in on. He's saying, look at Jesus who takes away the sins of the world. And if we're in the mercy of Christ, does he not cover all of our sins? Christ is greater than sin. And so what we're learning, I believe, is that we're learning to trust even more in the true mercy that is already true. So even if we commit adultery 1,000 times a day, we are covered. And I know this sounds radical, but what if you and I do commit adultery every single day? I'm not talking about in the sense of man and woman, but actually we do break our longing for God many times with other idols. And we don't look to God for many things. Instead, we love something else instead, right? We are that sinful. And yet we choose not to see that. And even further, we choose sometimes not to even see Christ, who is even greater than that sin. And this is where I want to say, we must look at Christ, who has taken away that sin. Because of the gospel of mercy and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, we can trust him even more. And I just want to show this up here, this next thing, this gospel chart. And I know I've mentioned this to some of us in our small group, but I just want to explain it to us here as well. This is a timeline of your salvation or your Christian walk. And the beauty of it is that as time goes on, you're going to see the growing awareness of God's holiness, which is why Scripture is important. We want to see God's holiness. But also, we're going to see growing awareness of our sin and our flesh. And the great thing here is we're going to see even more how big the cross gets in our life, how much more we need the cross every single moment of our life as we walk with Jesus. Because of Jesus, no sin can separate us. And that's why the beauty and the sweetness of the cross in which Jesus died to take on our sins has to become sweeter. It will become sweeter, because the more we see our sinfulness grow, the more we see the need for Jesus. Anyone here Netflix fans? Podcasts? Amazon? I know hands are meant to go up, but you don't have to. It's okay. I understand. You know, the funny thing is right now, everyone wants to market in a way where it's about subscriptions, right? Monthly subscriptions, and so you pay a little bit at a time so you don't feel like you're getting all your money taken away little by little, right? And the funny thing is, we want these subscriptions because we get the service provided for us. Now, here's a quick thought. If there was a subscription that you could buy or purchase to be able to talk to God face-to-face in his throne, would you purchase it? And how much would you buy? How much would you buy it for? $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, even up to $500 a month? The funny thing is, I think we would all purchase that. But do we need to? Right, we don't. Exactly. And some of us are already very smart. Y'all are already like, no, you don't need to buy that. But what I mean here is, we have that communication with God. And the funny thing is, if I said that in a way where it's like, yeah, you get direct access to God for $50 a month, you'd be like, yeah, I would buy that. Because it sounds so good. But the funny thing is, we already have that subscription. And what's even greater is, it's already been paid for. So the subscription for you and the service is already done. It's sealed. You've got it lifelong in Jesus Christ. Christ paid for that subscription to be able to go to the throne, to the King of Kings, every single day. Our trust and our hope in Christ grows. As we see, we always have this subscription, this throne access to God every single moment. And it's all thanks to Christ Jesus who paid for it all. The focus, and I know I've been repeating Jesus a lot, but I think I'm okay to do that this time. It's solus Christus, right? Christ is the focus. He is the pivotal point in which everything is given access to us. This is radical grace, not for the sake of sin. I mean, not for the sake of looking to sin more, but for the sake of trusting Jesus more. This is a new space, a new way of life that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship," and this is actually going to be up on the screen. Yep, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are workmanship, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand." And so see, right there, already God has prepared us to start living with him in good works. Last verse, Philippians 3:13-14. "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." It's about going forward into holiness. And it's not perfection, but it's a journey that we have in Christ. Jesus gives us the freedom to go into this new space. And just a quick question to ask us right now. Which voice, what voice are we listening to? The internal voice that speaks to us. For example, Brian, you are a sinner. You don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be at church. You don't deserve to be a child of God. Or are you listening to the voice of truth that says, Brian, you are who I say you are. You are a beloved child of God. So which voice and whose truth are you listening to? And I know the ultimate truth is Scripture, where we see it is Christ Jesus who we listen to and not our own. So going back to the question of how do we get into this union with Christ? How can we obtain this union and oneness in Jesus? And that's our second point today. Through Christ alone, we get it all. I want to read to us Luke 23:39-43. I love sharing this passage because so many people, when they read this, they're thinking, oh, wait, that answers a lot about salvation. And this is what it says. "One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" What was the difference between these two criminals? And both of them were sinners. Both of them were both judged wrong, and they were both admitting to that. But one of them saw Jesus and said, remember me. I believe that you are Jesus, the Son of God, and that there is an eternity. One mocked Christ, the other believed in the Messiah. And Jesus assured him, you will be with me in paradise. Now, did he have any good deeds on that cross, that criminal? No, there was no deeds to show anything. It was his pure belief of saying, Jesus, I know you're going to remember me. Remember me, please. I know you're the Son of God. That is our union that we have in Jesus. It's through faith and believing in Christ as the Son of God, the Savior and Lord of our life, that we have union and oneness with God. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This criminal who believed in Jesus, hoped in Jesus, was assured in Jesus. Faith unites us to Christ, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, unites us to Jesus as well. And this is where, I think I mentioned this before, the Spirit of Christ is mentioned many times in the New Testament from Paul, and he's talking about the oneness we have in Jesus Christ because of the Spirit of God who dwells within us. And so we are linked to God himself. God desires us to be one with him, and that is through Jesus Christ. And I just want to make sure of this too, because I think so often, because of the different denominations that we have in Christianity, I think we always want to err either on the truth side or this emotion-based side of Christianity. Do you guys know what I mean there a little bit? Like, we think either, like, you know, extremely Bible truth, or we have to be somewhat emotional and spirit-led, and it's very much a pendulum swing on which direction. And I would hope that we don't have to choose one or the other. And I say that because I think it's not about having more knowledge or having more emotion. I think it's about having union with Jesus Christ. And that does come from both. God gave us emotion. God gave us truth with his scriptures. But we come together in being one with God. And to say this too, not to necessarily be like Jesus, but to actually live with Jesus. And those are two very different things. The easy thing to do with being like Jesus is to say, I need to do this more, I need to do that more, and then we become very self-oriented and saying, I gotta replicate his life. But if we are with Jesus and live with Jesus, that is you becoming like him because of the joy, because of the passion, because of everything that we have in Christ Jesus. It's a union that we have together. It is a life, not a replication. If that's the word, sorry, not to replicate. So I hope we see the beauty and the importance of living with Christ, the union with him. And the beauty of that is we don't have to prove a thing. Christ proved it all on the cross. And I want to make sure of this too, because I think this is the benefit we get as well, and this is all glory to God. When you and I have been paid for, I want to make sure of this too for all of us, because there might be some of us who are dealing with identity issues. There might be some of us who feel like you're not confident. And just to say this, you and I, and this is actually from a friend of mine, and he's a man of God, and he told me this when I was having a sense of shame and guilt, and he said this. He said, Brian, you are bought at a price, and your value is based on what you're bought for. And so for all of us here, quick question, what are you valued at? Is it how much you have in your retirement? Is it how much you have in your home? your financial value. What is your value? And the answer here is, we are valued at royalty because of Christ, who has died and bought it for us. You and I are bought at the price of the blood of Christ. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how low you are, doesn't matter your skin color, your social background, your occupation, none of it. Because in the eyes of God, who is the ultimate and final judge, he says, royalty. Because of the blood of Christ that bought you. God sees so much value in us because Jesus bought us. And that is good news. It doesn't matter about the value that others put on you. It's about the value that God puts on you. In today's passage, the beauty of it is, you can see through the verses, it is God who created that to happen. It is God who did the work. It is God who initiated. It is God who is moving us through. Not I, not what we can try to do, but God. And to bring us here, that's what we're after. To be in communion with this Almighty God who has bought us. And one other thing to share. You know the prodigal son? Right? You know the prodigal son, and when he comes back, he says, put on the robe and give him the ring. And that ring is talking about royalty. You are my son, you are my heir, you are co-heir with me. And so that is what we're talking about here as well. Which brings us here to point number three. And the last thing I wanted to do today, because today is talking about Sola Christus, I just wanted to talk more about Jesus and who he is. And this is point number three today. More of Christ. And Christ meaning the chosen one, the Messiah, the saving one. And so there are three things that I just wanted to hit up on today. Who is Jesus? Who is the Christ? And we see it in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Christ, the prophet. Christ, the priest, and Christ, the king. He holds these three offices all at once, and he continues to do so. Christ, the prophet, he's the one who teaches. He teaches us. He gives us life lessons, and he's there with us. He knows the secret counsel of God because he's there with God. He is a teacher. And we can progress in our Christian life because we have this teacher. Christ the priest, the one who sacrificed. Before in the Old Testament, priests would have to constantly sacrifice for the people of God, for the sense of cleansing. But today, we have Christ who has done it once and for all, who became the sacrifice for us. He intercedes for us as the great high priest, continually. Which means that we have an advocate who is constantly saying to God the Father, look, I paid for them. We love them. And lastly, Christ the King, the one who leads us. He is a sovereign King, knowing all things. He is all-powerful, giving mercy and repentance to the guilty. He is the royal heir of new creation. He will lead us forever. You know, when I think about these three things, this should make our sense of wanting to do more much less. Instead, we get to trust in Christ, the mediator, who is there for us. Christ, who is the priest, the prophet, and the king, who is doing it all for us. Already has and still is continually with God the Father. I hope that's a breath of fresh air, because you don't have to perform. Christ is performing. And that's why we can lean and trust in him even more. That's why we see the cross growing bigger in our life as we continue our life as well. God is producing a change in us, as we see in today's passage. He's continually moving us. This is a God movement in our lives, not something that we are adding on to it. It is through Christ alone that he starts with us and then sustains us and brings us to glory. And so I would love to just leave us here with this. May our dependence in Jesus Christ grow continually. And may we see Jesus even sweeter day by day as we are living in union with Christ, in oneness with Christ. You and I have that monthly subscription that was already paid for. We can use it every single time. And you can enter boldly into the presence of God. He has done it all, and we can trust in his works. Church, let us live with Christ and learn more and more, trusting in his great and mighty works in Christ alone. If you would pray with me as we continue. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this message where it's meant to be led, God, and I just give that to you. And may we just come here, Lord, just knowing and trusting more and more of the cross in which you had died, in which, Jesus, you are the centerpiece of this whole story. Without you, none of this would be possible. So, God, thank you so much for your one and only Son who has paid the price for us, who gives us hope, who gives us a new space, a new life to live into freedom, to do even more good works, and to learn what it means to enjoy you in our life right now. So God, we ask for your spirit to fill us even more, and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you so much, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray.